Right, so this morning, when I was thinking of what to speak about, I struggled as I always do, and I sought God. I said, God, what do you want me to talk about? And then I was listening, and then I felt like I wasn't listening hard enough. And it always comes to me around Wednesday or Thursday before I have to speak. And I think, if I knew this 2 weeks ago, I'd have so much more time to prep it and make it shiny. But I think I'm just constantly being taught that God is in charge. He's in control. And so I tried to relax up until Wednesday, Thursday, and then something comes. So when I was doing this, I was thinking about the words for and to. Okay, so as in for someone or to someone. And I thought about what God does for us. And a lot of times in church, we can focus on what God does for us because it has a positive spin on it. It's his mercy, it's his love, it's forgiveness, it's all these things that he does for us, and we feel warm and snuggly. And then I thought, hold on, what about what God does to us? And I say that, and that has a slightly negative connotation to it. And you can liken it to if you get a haircut or you go to hairdressers and you've done your hair and someone says to you, oh, who did that for you? It's just, you do this and then you give them the recommendation. If someone says who did that to you, you see where I'm going with this? It's different. It's got a different feel to it. So when we say what God does for us, we feel like this. When we say what God does to us, then it can, it gets a bit murky. Okay, so that's the angle I'm going from. And the analogy I want to use is that of a potter, so someone who's doing ceramics. And I guess the reason is because last week, my wife and I went and did a pottery class. It's only couple of hours. I'm no expert. I may speak like I'm an expert. I have 2 hours experience of pottery. Any other clay I did was in primary school. So I'm not an expert, but I do know an expert. So, the passage comes from Isaiah 64, verse 8, and it says, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Okay, so that's where I'm basing this. And I'll take you through my experience of the pottery class and how that ties into what God does to us. Okay? So, the process begins with something called wedging. Okay, and from what wedging is there's a huge piece of clay, and the potter will carve a slice out, and he'll set it aside. Okay, it's set aside for a purpose. The rest of the clay is going to come down to, but this piece of clay, in fact, let's say it's this piece of clay. This piece of clay has been set aside for a purpose. We look at it, and it's gray, it's kind of sticky, it's not ready for anything quite yet, but the potter knows what this is for. And that's us. We've been set aside for a purpose. The clay has no idea what it is. Sometimes we think we do, but God knows, the potter knows. And so the wedging process starts with a piece of clay, and it's almost like kneading bread. But because the clay is so dense, it's almost like an assault. So it's really going in, really pounding it. And the whole point of this process is to eliminate any air bubbles that would affect the final outcome, as to align all the particles in the clay to make it malleable so that the potter can work it into what they want it to be. So our instructor, when we got there, she was there kneading it, slamming it down. And the closest thing I can liken it to is growing up in Ghana, I remember my nan making fufu. Yeah? Or is it similar to pounded yam? I'm not sure. But what I remember, it's not, okay, well, I've been, well, I'm always learning, so it's fine. I'll find out exactly what the difference is afterwards, but I'm going to go from the fufu perspective, and it's, the consistency of fufu is almost like bread dough. That's the closest thing I can liken it to. And I'd remember, I'd be in the house, and I'd hear in the back garden, I'd hear, boom, 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 and it was a rhythmic thing. So I know, okay, it's not just something random happening. Something is happening on purpose. And you go out, I go outside, and it'll be my nan and the maid. We call her the maid. We weren't that well off. We just knew her as the maid. And she'd be pounding in this thing. And my nan would have a little bit of water on her hand, And in between each pound, she would go in, kind of twist it, and then boom, twist, boom. And there was a rhythm to it. And it looked aggressive. Like, she was like, dish, dish, dish. And I think, wait, we're going to eat that. And it's, but the whole point of it is that softens it and it makes it smooth. And you eat it, it's an acquired taste. But when you eat it, I don't ever remember chewing fufu, like, right? People are like, no, no, no. If it's done right, it's smooth. You just kind of play with it in your mouth, and then it goes down, and then you have a nap afterwards. Yeah. But the whole point of that was to prepare it for a purpose. That's the first bite. If all of that didn't happen, then it's not going to be smooth. Same thing with the clay. If it hasn't been kneaded enough, if it hasn't been wedged enough, later on there's going to be problems. And so sometimes in our lives, we go through something and we can think that maybe it's some kind of punishment. God, why is this happening? Why are you doing this to me? And it's just the first part of being prepared for something. And it has to happen. In Matthew 3:16-17, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So, wow, it's great. Then, literally, in the next bit, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights, he was hungry. So we've gone from this uplifting verse and then straight away into something. And it's not a punishment. Jesus is not being punished here. He's being prepared for something. And so I want to say to you, if you're going through something right now and it feels like, what have I done to deserve this? God is punishing me. It's not necessarily a punishment. Life is unfair and bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to all people. And it's just a part of life. But it could be, or you could look at it as God is preparing you for something, and that's a necessary part of the purpose that he has for you. Okay, so that's the first part of the claim. The next part is centering. Now, the spelling looks awkward. I've got this thing where I look at, but this is the British spelling of centering. The American has the E in it, okay? I just felt like I had to put that out there because I don't want anyone saying, this, look at this teacher and he's getting the spelling wrong. Okay, so that's just me doing that, right? Okay, I can take that off my list. So once the clay has been sufficiently wedged, and so in our class, the instructor did that for us, and we sat at the wheel, we've all got our piece of clay, and then it has to be thrown down onto the wheel. Okay, so there's a middle bit, and it's not just placed gently, you throw it down like, and you throw it down. And then she starts the wheel spinning, and she said, okay, you're going to put your hand here, you're going to put one hand here, and you're going to move the clay into the center. Because if it's not in the center, it's doing this. It's kind of wobbling around, and it makes it really hard to work with. So I spoke to Haley this morning about her, you know, what was it like when she centered it? And she said, oh, yeah, it was easy. She centered it, and it was right there. Mine wasn't as easy. I threw it down, and it kind of skewed a bit to the right. It's because I've not done fufu before. It's because I don't know what pounded yam is. That's what it is. So the wheel starts spinning, water on your hand, and she's demonstrating it. So I'm watching her because I'm like, when I'm teaching, I expect my students to be watching. So I need to practice what I preach. So I'm watching and I'm doing this with my hands. Okay, she does this. And then it's my turn. And I put my hand down and it's almost like it's fighting me. I'm trying to push it to the center, but the force of the wheel is spinning. So the whole time it's trying to move out, and I'm trying to say, no, 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 come to the center, and this is where the transformation can happen. So anyway, got my hands wet, moved it into the center, and I finally get it there. And you know it's in the center because when you look at it, it barely looks like it's moving. If it's on the edge, it's spinning, there's bits flying off, it kind of goes wild. And I looked at the instructors, and literally she threw it down, did this, and it was spinning. It was almost like it wasn't moving. I looked at Haley's spinning, almost like it wasn't moving. Mine was doing this little bit. I was like, okay, I think I'm centered, but I'm not. So it's a little bit moving. And then I finally got it centered, and you know, because you can look at it, and it's just spinning. I think, oh, wow, it's amazing. Barely moving. And it's like us and God, where God wants to use us, or we want to say, God, use me, and God says, okay, if you want me to use you, I need you to be here not here. I need you to be here, because this is where I can mold you for the purpose that I have for you. And if we're a little bit off, we're going to be wobbling, it's going to be a mess. God will, you know, do his thing, but we have to be aligned with God's will. If it is God's will, then it's almost like there's a peace that comes, because you're in line with God's will, and he can work, and it's motionless. And you see the potter in our class, she was doing it, and her hands were like, it was like magic, and it was smooth, and it was centered. And I finally got mine centered, and then I was like, okay, yes, now I can start making something amazing. So centering is important. If we want God to use us, we need to be ready to be almost slammed down into the position he wants us, and we need to be there for him to be able to use us. Once the clay is centered, this is me sounding like an expert now, it's time to create the form. This is the bit where the magic happened. I don't know if anyone's ever watched The Great Pottery Throwdown. Anybody watch that? Or nobody wants to admit to watching it? I don't know, I do, it's fine. Yes, yes, okay, so when you see those guys do it, and they throw it down, and they center it, and they just, their hands just start moving, and then something just almost like magically rises, and you start to see the form, okay? And this whole point of if it wasn't centered in the beginning, that part doesn't happen. It kind of wobbles, and then you have to start the whole process again. And so once the clay is centered, then our instructor, she put her hands in a certain way, and one, two, there we go. So my piece of clay was really smooth, really smooth. I was so proud of it. It looked like it was just standing still. And then came the point where I had to almost destroy what I thought was great. And so the instructor showed us, she put her hands in a certain way, and she puts it down, and she makes a hole. And this beautiful form looks misshapen. Suddenly there's a hole in it, and it's called opening the vessel. And she puts her fingers in a certain position, and she opens it out, and it starts to go out, and then she starts to pinch, and then it starts to rise. And I was like, oh, okay, okay. And I'm doing everything she's doing with my hands, because I'm going to be model student. So then comes the turn. And I do it, and she says, you go down, and you want to leave about, I don't know, an inch and a half. You don't go all the way down. You go down just enough, and then you pull out, and then you start to create the walls. And you build it up, almost like what God would do with us. And just build us up from where we are, and build us up to be what we need to do. And this whole point, this whole time, you're using both hands, and your both hands are working in harmony. Both hands are working together. It's steady, it's consistent. And the potter is controlling the clay. And I imagine that that's how God handles us. When we're going through something, he's not just here, and then he's over there, and then he remembers us and comes back. There is a constant contact. There is a constant attention, constant molding, constant correction, and it's with a firm hand and a gentle touch. And that's what it was like. Some part of the clay was, like, you have to really force it. And then when it came to building it and the walls get thinner, then you have to have a bit more of a delicate touch. And sometimes God, when he works with us, has to have a firm hand. I know he does with me sometimes. And then sometimes it's a gentle touch. But the point is, it's him, and he's there all the time. Now, the conflict happens when the clay wants to be something else. When the clay wants to be this, and the potter says, no, it's going to be this. When God says, I want you to do this, and he said, no, but God, I'd really like to do this. And that's where the conflict happens. Now, when we were creating the form, our instructor said to us, I think she was trying to set our expectations at a, at a manageable level, so we wouldn't be too disappointed at the end. And she said, look, you're going to start making, and then at the end, we'll see what you've made, and then we'll decorate it. Because we might go in thinking, I'm going to create this wonderful vase, and then at the end, we've got an ashtray. And it's like, you know what, we can still work with that. And so it's almost like, yeah, the clay wants to be something else, and the potter's like, no, it's going to be this. So I think about, let's say the potter's going to make a bowl and the clay has been wedged, it's been centered, and it's there. And it's like, okay, do your thing. And the potter starts making the bowl. And the clay says, oh, no, hold on. I think I'm supposed to be a vase, not a bowl. And they're like, no. I've set aside to be a bowl. I know why I'm making you into a bowl. No, but I would be much better as a vase. I'm not a bowl. I don't like food being put in me. I'm lactose intolerant. I don't eat soup. I don't like microwaves. I don't want to end up in a dishwasher, and I don't want to get that little chipped edge that sometimes bowls get. I don't want to be dealing with that. That's not me. My strength lies in being a vase. Okay, I can stand, I can be prominent, I can hold water, I can give life to the flowers. They're going to bloom, their fragrance is going to make people feel amazing. Put me here. This is where my skill set is. No. You're supposed to be a bowl. And I remember when I first got asked to be an elder, and in my head, I had already said no. I might have told this before. In my head, I'd said no, but I said, you know what? I'm going to, you know, go through the process, and then I'll say no. And I thought I was in God's will because I was already on the worship team. So I was like, look, God, music is my thing. Just let me sit on the keys in the corner. I'll learn some more complex chords if you want, and I can do that, and I can do that, and people will sing, and they'll get emotional maybe, and they put their hands up, they close their eyes. While let me do that bit. That's what I'm good at. And God was like, no. Going to be the bowl. And eventually I gave in. And the weird thing is, when I was making my pottery at this class, in my head I had two ideas. One of them was a bowl, and then the other one was to create some kind of tall container that I could put brushes in, like paint brushes in, because I'm thinking about doing watercolors. I don't know. That might be another sermon. But I thought, oh, if I make this, then I could put my water brushes in here, and then it will sit nicely with all the other stuff. And as I'm making it, in my head, there's a conflict between what I should have been making and what I wanted to make. And in the end, I'm doing it and the instructor's saying, and then you do this, and then this is how the form will come to make it taller, to build the walls. And I don't know what I did, but within seconds, I had created a bowl. And I was so proud of this bowl. It was so smooth, and it had the beautiful curve. And I was like, there is nothing else to do. I don't want to try and turn it into a vase, because it was supposed to be a bowl. And so that conflict where sometimes God is telling us what we should be and we're telling God, no, what I want to be, that can create a disconnect. And I just reminded of this verse when I was looking at it, and it says, woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness, think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? That's where the conflict happens and it disconnects. And in our lives, when we try and do that, and sometimes things go wrong, and we might blame God for it, and we get angry and say, God, this is what I'm supposed to be. And in the process of when you're making clay, bits come off, bits fly off, and it's dirty work, and you lose bits. And if you make a mistake, you might lose a bit of clay, and so you have to try and adapt it. And there was a guy next to me, and it's actually quite entertaining, but he was rushing a lot. And so when she was saying, oh, use a gentle hand, do this, he was kind of like doing his thing, almost like, oh, I'm ready to make the thing I want, because she made it look so easy. And I guess maybe he thought it was going to be easy. But as he was doing it, he kept losing bits of clay. Bits of clay kept falling off. And it came to the point where he couldn't fix what he'd created. It wasn't even an ashtray. And so the instructor came by and she said, look, do this. So she puts her hands in and helps reform the clay. And then he gets involved and he starts following what she's doing. And once he did that, he started to create a bowl, of all things. And in Jeremiah 18:4, it says, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And so when we go kind of against what God wants to do and we mess things up, God doesn't give up on us. That piece of clay is not then discarded. It's reused. God says, no, come on. Wedge, center. Let's create the form again. And by this point, we've gone through all the being angry at God and feeling sorry for ourselves. And we're at a place where we're ready to surrender and say, okay, God, I am ready to be used for the purpose for which you have set me aside. And then beautiful things happen. After that comes a drying process. Now, this bit is done very slowly. So I had my beautiful bowl. And it was the time for it to dry. And this drying process is where a potter might add a handle if it's going to be a cup or some kind of carving or decoration. And it gets to the point where the clay can hold its weight, okay, and it can be worked without kind of collapsing on itself. And then once that's done, it takes a little bit of time to dry. And it has to dry to a point before it goes in the kiln. And this drying process allows some of the water that's in it to be evaporated. Because if it goes in the clay, in the kiln, and it's fired up, then the water expands and the pot. Yeah, the pot does that, it explodes. And this is the first pass, it's a bisque fire. And the temperatures in here are about 900 degrees Celsius. Okay, so it's cooking. Okay, and if the pot goes in, and it has any water, or it hasn't had taken the time to dry out properly, and it explodes, you can see how close it is to all those other pots. So the effect isn't just on that single pot, it's on everything around it. And if we're trying to do what God wants us to do, we say, no, God, I'm supposed to do this, and then we just go off and start doing it, there is a chance that if it's God's not in it, we're going to hurt people. And I know people who've been hurt by other Christians, or in church, or at work, and you think your actions maybe only affect yourself, and it doesn't. And that's I didn't think about that when I chose that specific picture. But things are so close, and normally it's the people who are close to us who get hurt. Yeah, and so it's important that when we're trying to do God's will, we make sure that from the beginning, we haven't tried to make God do something else, that we're in line with God, what God wants us to do. So the clay goes into the oven. When it goes in, it's delicate, it's soft, it's still fragile, it can still collapse, and it's placed in. And when it comes out, it's hard, it's tough, it's dry, it's almost like cement. When it goes in, it's full of impurities in the clay. And when it comes out, most of those impurities have been burnt away. And we can relate this to our lives, that sometimes when we're feeling the heat and the intensity of life, and we feel like God isn't there, and you'll notice this is the first time in the whole process that the clay and the potter are not in physical contact. This is the first time that the potter is not molding or doing anything to the clay. It's almost, it feels like they've been separated. And sometimes when we're going through really, really tough times and we think, God, where are you? What's going on? Chances are, this is where we are. Where we're supposed to be, it's supposed to be hot because the heat does something for us. It feels like it's been done to us, but it is for us. And so it comes out, and it's hard. And I just, when we were worshiping, I kept scribbling things on my sermon, and we sang Omema, and I'm told it means he who does good. Yeah. So if we're singing Omema, you're always on time, you can do no wrong, and he puts us in here, yeah, God who does good. So it feels like it's been done to me, but it is for me. And we also sung, he's in the room, no matter where I go, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I'm in the bisque fire and it's 900 degrees, he's there. It feels like he's not there, but he's there. And his time, he just said he's always on time. His timing is perfect. The potter knows how long it should be in the kiln. The potter knows what temperatures that clay can withstand. Different clay can take different temperatures. And so when you're in there, God knows you're in there. He hasn't forgotten. It's not like when we put something in the oven and we're like, oh, you know, I've forgotten something in the oven. He knows. He's in the room. He's there. He knows when he's going to pull you out of that, when the work is done. He knows what you can handle. So when you're going through it and you think, oh, I don't know how much more I can take, God knows. God says, no, you're here because this is what you need. This is the process that you're going through to be ready for the purpose for which I have. So he's in the room. So next is glazing. So it's been in there. It's in there for about 8 hours. Okay, so sometimes this process feels like it takes a long time. You might be going through something and think, God, why is the answer not here yet? It's been a long time. Sometimes it needs to be that long. So you come out, the clay comes out, it cools down, and it feels like, oh, that was hot. And then now comes the glazing, and it feels like you're at a spa now. The glazing goes on, a little bit of decoration. So, okay, this is the nice part. And we can relax. And sometimes when we're in situations and God pulls us out of it, we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. And we can worship and we can thank him for his goodness. And we can say, amazing, amazing God, you brought me through that. Now the glazing process, before it's glazed, that pot, although it's hard and it's solid, it's still porous. If I put liquid in it, liquid's going to seep in it. It's not going to be able to be used for what it's supposed to be. My bowl, I could not eat cereal from my bowl. Okay, so it has to be glazed. And glazing, sometimes it's dipped in, sometimes it's done with a careful touch. And we feel like this is where God's really looking after us. God cares. I know God cares because he's brought me through this. And then this happens. It's the soda firing. Then we go back into the heat. We've just come out of something. We're praising God. And then something else happens. And you think, what on earth, Lord? Surely this can't be the plan. You've pulled me out of this to go into this. And the thing is, this has to happen. I'm going to use the bowl analogy again. For the bowl to be able to be used for its intended purpose. All of that stuff that happened before was part of the preparation. But if this bit doesn't happen, the bowl can't be used. It has to be glazed. And the glazing, it goes into this soda firing. And it's exposed to more flames, and it's in there for 14 hours. So it's an even longer period. The heat is higher, over 1,000 degrees Celsius. Okay? And you think this fragile thing can take that? And it can, and God knows it can. And the reason it's in there is because the glaze then creates what's like a really thin film of glass, and it makes the porous bowl waterproof. Now, when that bowl comes out, it can be used for its intended purpose. And it's not easy. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trial of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. And when you're going through these trials, it's hard to imagine that it makes you stronger because it feels almost like you're being broken down and it feels like you're at your weakest point. But this glaze, this last part of the process, makes everything worth it. And then we are the thing, the vessel that God needs in order to do his work. So we go through all of that. He does it to us, for him. Because if we really want to do God's work, then that's part of the price. That's part of what we sign up to do. So God doesn't create just for something to look pretty. It has to be useful. The bowl, the cup, without that glazing, it just looks pretty. Yep. Even the vase that wants to look pretty needs to be glazed because it has to hold some kind of water, some kind of liquid. So at this point, it should be no secret that being clay is hard work. Being the Christian is hard work. And so, and you get this, sometimes people get the idea that once you become a Christian, it's, you know, it's God. God does it. Yeah, people are laughing at me like, you have no idea. But the whole point of giving our lives to God is that God sets us aside for a purpose. So we've all gone through that. We've all been this. Okay, you look at it and it's unassuming, it's gray.
There's potential, but we don't necessarily see that potential. We see clay. We might not even know how to create something beautiful out of this, but he does. And if we allow him to wedge us, to center us, to form us, to fire us, to bring us out, to glaze us and fire us again, if we allow him to do that, then we can be this. Okay? No. Oh, yeah, I should say, hold on. Let me say, I'm not, sorry, I should have put like a little thing. Yeah, disclaimer. My bowl is not finished. No, guys, do not remember, we can't be impatient. Okay? We cannot rush the process. So when it is finished, I will bring it to show you. But it is going through the process of being in the fire, coming out to be glazed, and then going back in. Okay, I'm not expert enough to do that, so that's being done. So in, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks' time, they say, I'll collect it and I will show you. But this is just this is just my visual representation. How we go from something like this that we cannot really use, that does not look like it has any use. It's got potential, but we might not see. Has to go through a tough process. Things have to be done to it in order for it to be something that can be used. So I just want to encourage you, if you are going through something and you feel like you're in any part of that process, maybe you've just become a Christian and you're like, oh my goodness, that's what's coming. I want to encourage you that God knows, and he knows what you are capable of. He knows what you can take and what you can't take. He knows what he wants to make you into, and this is the process where you're going to be able to do the thing that fulfills God's intention for your life. And it is tough, and it is a struggle, but knowing that he's there makes it even easier. Imagine going through all of that without God, but we have him. Omema, yeah, always on time. He's in the room. He's there through the whole process. I just want to finish with this. While I was writing this, I was at my desk at school, and I was thinking, and God said to me, buy a bowl. I was like, what? I just felt like, buy a bowl. And I didn't fully get it. I was like, okay, I'll buy a bowl. And this bowl is for someone. I don't know who it's for. But I want someone to have this. If you're going through something that's really, really tough, and you have no idea if God is there or not, and you don't know what is happening, I want this bowl to remind you that he is in charge. And he is creating something beautiful and purposeful in your life. So I don't know who that is. I wish God revealed it to me and I could walk over to the person and give it to them. Ah, okay. Okay, so this is for you. Okay. And I just, every time you see it, I don't know if it's going to be your style or your design. It probably won't fit with anything you have. But I just felt when God said to me to buy it, he said, someone needs to be reminded that at the end of the process, it's going to be something that's amazing and purposeful. And that's what God wants to do with you. Amen. So that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning. We'll pray before, I think I've gone over time. My apologies. So I'll just pray as we round up. Don't run off. There's going to be refreshments at the back, and speak to someone. If you want prayer, if you're going through stuff and you want prayer, I'm going to hang out at the front for a bit. So just come up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that you've been with us this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are always there. Your timing is perfect. That you know the end from the beginning. Father, we're here because we want to be part of your plan. We want to say your will be done in our lives, Lord God. And it's not an easy journey, but you walk it with us. So, Father, I pray for everyone here, for all of us, in fact. We are going to go through things that are tough. But I just pray that we would be obedient and let you do the things that you do. Father, we are declare you are the potter. I pray that you would mold us into the things that we're supposed to be. We're not going to look at the vase and say, that's what I want to be. We're not going to look at the cup and say, that's what I want to be. We're going to look to you and say, Lord, what do you want me to be? And whatever that process is, I pray that in the midst of all the turmoil and the pain, Lord, there's going to be that peace, knowing that we are where we should be. So, Father, thank you. And I pray that as we go, we'll just take these words with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. If you would like prayer, I'm going to hang out at the front. Or if you want to talk, that's fine. If you don't, that is also fine. But help yourself. There's refreshments at the back. Speak to someone. Give someone a compliment or something. Yeah. Thank you.